You're listening to the Utah Man Podcast, bringing you the latest news and analysis for your Utah Utes. Now, your hosts, Cameron, Ryan, and Scott.
Welcome on into the Utah Man Podcast. On this episode, we're talking the Pac-12, looking at eliminating divisions, and we review the linebackers and the defensive line for the Utes in the upcoming season. I'm Cameron, and we got Ryan.
What's up, Ute Nation?
And Scott.
Ryan, are you already laying down? The podcast just started.
Old man peace over there.
My bedroom is the only room in the house not occupied at the moment. So, yes, I'm lying in bed while we podcast. Getting a head start on my sleep.
How come part of your screen is blurred out?
That's none of your business.
Good thing this is a podcast, radio only, audio only.
So I got to pile on Ryan since we're already doing it. This past weekend, I was at Ryan's and I needed some tools. And his daughter goes in and brings me out his toolbox.
First of all, I wasn't home when you got there. My daughter was helping him before I even got home.
His tools are all pink, like they have pink handles, like a pink hammer.
Oh my gosh, is this true?
They're not my tools. They're my wife's tools.
Yeah.
Missy.
Likely story.
Wow. She has pink tools?
She does. And it was because all of my tools are outside in our shed and you have to go outdoors to get them, and it's kind of a pain in the wintertime if you need like a hammer or a screwdriver. And so she was sick and tired of doing that, so she ordered her own little tool kit on Amazon.
It's bright pink
and she keeps them in the house, so they're handy. So that's why my daughter grabbed them for Cameron. But when I pulled up, Cameron was using the pink tools. So I don't know how this is my problem.
She said that's all you had.
She didn't want to go out in the shed either, apparently.
Hey, so have either of you guys started Better Call Saul yet?
No.
No.
Oh my gosh. Oh, but I got time for Cobra Kai.
No, I won't tell you the show. But
that's coming out earlier than expected.
I don't even want to admit the show that I'm binging right now.
What is it?
I'm not.
Oh, come on. You can't bring it up and then not say
it's total trash TV, and I'm not.
Is it Housewives of Salt Lake City?
No.
All right. You gotta at least give us some hints. What genre?
Maybe. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Reality, I guess.
All right. Just what is it?
90 Day Fiancé?
Well, I've never even heard of that show.
Either.
Dude, it makes you feel better about your life.
Is it like what is it on, like Netflix, or is it on network TV? No,
like TLC, I think.
Oh, Cam's a big
one
TLC
of those,
guy.
One of those and, shows.
Well, I'm not surprised. He does use pink tools. So,
wow.
What is happening? What is happening?
Well, for
Ryan's currently binging that one.
for the two people that are still listening, let's jump into this. All right, let's get into this. Conferences in college football are looking at eliminating divisions, and there is some big news that the ACC they're having meetings to talk about that and potentially eliminating divisions in 2023. And now it's kind of popping up again at the Pac-12, we'll be looking at eliminating divisions as maybe this new model for scheduling kind of grows in the college football landscape. Where are you guys sitting as far as having the North and South division within the Pac-12?
I don't know where I sit on that, to be honest with you. I mean, I get why they want to do that. That guarantees them the two best teams in the conference go. And if the two best teams are two teams from the South, then they go and they play each other. And I think that just better secures and better, it allows the Pac-12 to better situate themselves in the event for postseason play, playoff, making sure their two best teams are showcased and get a play for that title. So I get it. But are we doing this simply because other conferences are doing it and we just want to tag along?
It kind of feels like that, but to your point, Scott, I think a lot of it has to do with trying to get your best chances at getting into a playoffs. Ryan, where are you sitting on this?
I don't necessarily like it. Again, I see why they're probably lean that way, but I think it kind of eliminates to a certain degree the rivalries that you get within a division. And obviously when we joined the Pac-12, Colorado, that rivalry was kind of built in, forced upon everybody. And I don't know that that's, it obviously hasn't played out. It's been dominated by Utah, but I think the USC rivalry is growing. I think there's almost a rivalry hate with ASU, but I think that goes with a lot of teams, not just Utah. But I think you kind of you could lose that to a certain degree. You'd still play a lot of those teams,
but there's no guarantee you're playing every year.
No, there's not. Which kind of, I mean, that's what a rivalry is to a certain degree, is you play every single year.
Except for if you're Utah, BYU.
That's not a rivalry. I think a lot of it also has to do with teams in the North want to get to Southern California. And if you eliminate the divisions, then there are more likely, more chances for the North teams to play in Southern California. I
see why Oregon would want to play USC more often and UCLA. I get that.
Realistically, are they going to play them any more often than they currently are? You know, especially there's talk that we may even lose a conference game and go down to eight, you know, so that affects everybody's schedule. Everybody's going to have to rotate. It isn't just going to be, you know, the Oregon gets whatever they want. Still going to have to go through a rotation.
It'd be a fair rotation. Like every 4 years, this is the schedule you're going to get. Maybe that doesn't increase the number of times they play in Southern California. But then you look at the North Division and you look outside of Washington typically and Oregon, unless it's an off year, the rest of the teams aren't necessarily that good.
No, I mean the North, obviously Stanford had their run, Oregon and Washington, but it's really been those three teams. And I mean the South isn't much different, although every team in the South has won the South Division. But only USC and Utah are the two South teams that have actually won the title. And I don't know. I don't know where I sit on this at the moment. There's aspects to both I like. I do like the divisions. I like knowing, you know, we're going to play these guys year in and year out. And to your point, Ryan, there are those kind of rivalries that are built in. I mean, if we hadn't been playing ASU every year, we wouldn't hate them like we do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, I kind of like having that built in, knowing that, hey, every year we're going to see the Arizona schools and we're going to have essentially a bye against Colorado. And so some of those are nice, but I think the way college athletics is going, the way the divisions, just each conference is going, there's going to be a lot of change, whether it's realignment, how conferences continue to do things. Obviously, we're looking ahead to the next TV deal, especially with the Pac-12. How does that influence things? I mean, I just think, man, we're going to see so much change in the next probably 5 to 10 years.
Well, I think the Pac-12 needs that change, because outside of really USC and Oregon, and now Utah, you know, is starting to get some love nationally. and Washington, out of those teams, the rest of the conference is really pulling it down. And so there's got to be some changes. Does changing divisions help or hurt that? I don't know.
I don't know that it does anything for that.
No, but I was going to say, I like the division aspect because I like that you can play for something throughout the year. And I kind of feel if you look at basketball, there's no divisions in basketball. And I kind of feel like in the Pac-12, if you're not competing for 1, 2, even 3 in the whole conference, then fans, sometimes teams kind of get disinterested in the season. Whereas in the divisions, you have those rivalries. There's something to play for. You can knock a team from winning the division, things of that nature. I think that's what makes college football so exciting, is that every single game means something. And I think if you get rid of divisions, it kind of takes that away a little bit.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, especially if you start off slow in conference, I mean, you're pretty much done in the conference race. Whereas in a division, I mean, that still very well could be the case if you have one team that's just head and shoulders above everybody else. But, I mean, that's definitely a factor. I mean, I like the idea. If Utah and USC were the two best teams in the conference, but we somehow lost to USC, and they go to the Pac-12 title over us, and they go play an 8-win Northern team, that's where the injustice is. And obviously, if you eliminate the divisions, then you're going to guarantee yourself year in and year out your two best teams go. So there's give and take that can help you in some years. It could hurt you in other years. So it's just, there's no, I'm not sure which formula ultimately is going to be best long-term, but it'll be interesting to see kind of what direction they go with that.
Yeah. And no matter what they do, it's going to take a couple years to really decide that out, get that scheduling down, especially as you mentioned, Scott, if they eliminate a conference game, that'll kind of be some years out to get scheduling set up for that. All right, we're going to jump into the positions, kind of finish out our review of the positions we've done so far in the spring with the linebackers and the defensive line. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, as we look at this linebacking group, the things that stand out, I think, to everybody is Utah's having to replace Devin Lloyd and Nephi Sewell. Two guys, Lloyd gets drafted in the first round, Nephi gets an undrafted free agent contract. But two solid guys that Utah is going to have to replace this coming year.
Yeah, those are guys that may, the made significant plays in that title run last year. So those whoever takes the field in September's got some big shoes to fill for sure.
The thing that's working in their favor is our D line could be borderline elite this year. There's potential that our D line is out of this world, which obviously in that case, that just helps the linebackers freeze those guys up to just go make tackles. And man, I mean, Lander Barton, Kyle Whittingham was in love with Lander in the spring. He couldn't talk about Lander enough. So, I mean, I think Lander, we're going to see a heavy dose, whether he's a starter or not. I think you're going to see a ton of Lander. And there's no question the transfer from Florida, Diabate, he's going to be getting the majority of those reps. And so, I mean, I kind of think it's between Diabate, Barton, and Karini Reed are probably your three starters at the linebacker position, assuming depending on what they're playing, if they're going to be a base with three backers out there, or potentially just two in some sets. So, but that's where I think you're going to go. But then there's still plenty of names behind those guys that could come up and surprise.
And I think a couple of guys that we haven't even mentioned yet that got playing time last year, Hayden Fury got significant reps last year, filling in for injuries and just for guys needing rest. And Andrew Mata'afa has been in the program for a couple of years. He's had some reps. And so I just love what Colton Swan is doing with this linebacking group and that room. It wasn't too long ago. Remember how that was one of the weaknesses of the defense was the linebackers.
We were pulling dudes from the D-line or from the safety position and converting them to backers.
Well, that's why Chase Hansen. Chase Hansen converted because
there was many before that. And it was just a position that Utah historically did not recruit at a high level, which is just so strange considering the success that we've had defensively with that D-line. But that really the linebacking recruiting has just taken off and gone to another level because it's just so absolutely deep. I mean, Justin Medlock was a huge get in this last recruiting class. And he was another guy that Kyle talked a lot about in the spring. And I think you're going to see him. Mason Tufuga was a huge recruit a couple of years ago. We haven't even talked about the Calvert.
That's
brothers.
What I was going to say. We haven't even brought up the Calverts and Ethan and Josh.
Well, Ethan was the more highly recruited, wasn't he?
Josh was the transfer from Washington. Ethan injured his knee in the first game last year.
Still rehabbing that because he didn't play in the spring game. He had a knee brace on, but I heard Colton Swan talking about him.
Well, he didn't play in the spring game, but he did play in the spring.
Yeah.
And
Colton Swan talked very highly of his motor and his athleticism and his knowledge of the defense. So I he'll probably be in the running to get some playing time as well.
Yeah. No, I think it's the thing, I guess, that doesn't concern me too much is I think Diabate is going to come in. He's going to lock down one of those positions.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Whether it's a combination of a Barton, a Calvert, heck, even a Mata'afa that secures some of these other positions. And I think you're going to see plenty of Karini Reed. There's some surefire talent. And even if you get some attrition through some injuries or anything like that, man, the spot is absolutely loaded with talent. So I just, obviously, when you lose a first round draft pick, and with Devin Lloyd, there's going to be some drop off because Lloyd did so much for that defense. He wasn't just a tackling machine. He could rush the passer. He was so good in coverage. And then you factor in just his leadership abilities and everything he did as a leader for that team and defense. So there's no doubt there's going to be a drop off just with his sheer playmaking ability. But I think we're going to see a significant increase and from production standpoint from the D line, which I think just overall is going to help that linebacking crew.
All right, so Scott, let's move into the defensive line here And honestly, if you go through the down the roster of the D tackles and the D ends, there's so many guys that I could just see, oh, they're going to get significant time. Oh, they're going to get a lot of reps. I mean, Fotu, Kafusi, the Pututau brothers, Junior Tafuna. Junior Tafuna, who had a great breakout season last year.
Hopefully he's my breakout player this year.
Oh, my gosh.
You always do that.
Just mute him.
I should. But then you look at the DNs, and you got Ellis and Fillinger. And Connor O'Toole transitioning over from tight end is a very interesting move there. But from top to bottom, there's so many guys that you just look at this roster and they're stacked. This D-line, what you're saying, Scott, I'm on there with you. This is a very talented group of young men.
Well, if you just look at, I mean, there's guys here that either started or played significant minutes last year that very well could not see significant minutes based on the talent. I mean, I think Van Fillinger is locked in one of the end spots.
No doubt.
I think the other end is probably up in the air with Gabe Reed, like you said, could come in and do that.
Jonah Ellis
showed really a lot towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I think Van, yeah. He's got his side locked down. I think there's no questions about that. You're going to see a ton of Jonah Ellis, Gabe Reed, obviously just with his ability and his experience, you're going to see a ton of him. But I mean look at this defensive tackle position. All right, so you've got Junior Tafuna, he's your starter. Tennessee Pututau was your starter two years ago and really kind of fell off a little bit last year until late in the season. And then he was starting to get more time. Aliki Viamahi was absolutely huge the second half of the season at the defensive tackle position. And then you've got Simote Pepa, who is a huge recruit. And we know what we have in Devin Kafusi, Tavita Fotu, who's got great genes. He's now in the program, absolutely as a redshirt freshman, 6'5", got great size. I mean, just overall, the defensive tackle position is loaded with so much talent. And then you factor in, yeah, those DNs. I mean, obviously, we don't really know what we have in Connor O'Toole, but man, word out of spring ball is he's done really well with the switch to the DN position, which I'll be honest, I'm kind of surprised by. I'm surprised that the amount of weight that he's put on now and his speed, which they're talking a lot about, is how quick he is off the snap, off the ball. And I mean, I'm excited. I don't know that we're going to see him, you know, be a star this year, but I think you're going to see moments of kind of that high ceiling that he may be able to provide. Mika Sugat, I can never say this guy's name.
Sugataraga.
Yeah. Well, I think you nailed it, Ryan.
Thank you.
And we've been waiting on Tyler Weegis for, it feels like forever, even though he's only a redshirt freshman. But again, he's one of those guys that they brought in, needed to put some weight on him. And it's, they've had trouble putting that weight on him, but he was one of those projection recruits that if they could get him to that level, he's got great size. He's got great speed. So there's options there at that defensive end position. I just think overall, I think we're going to be absolutely loaded. We're going to be right at the top in rush defense. And it is an F because Van Fillinger needs help from that other side. But if whether Jonah Ellis or Gabe Reed or somebody else can lock down that other side and consistently put pressure on it, this, I'm telling you, this D line is going to be lights out.
I think the thing that I really like the most of this D-line, I know we got our red colored glasses on, is with this defensive line. It kind of seems like in the past, a couple years ago, there would just be maybe one kind of star on the D-line, right? Or on the edge. There'd be one guy, and a lot of times if he got double teamed, that's how teams could take advantage of that. But when you look at what this recruiting has been the last couple of years, you can't do that anymore. And if you try to double team Van Villinger, then, you know, on the other side, if it's Ellis or Reed coming off, or if you're double teaming Villinger, you got Putu Tau coming through. I think that's the thing that I'm so stoked about this line looking across the board is there's so many stars. And that's what it comes down to is how many stars, how many playmakers do you have on your team that can rise to the occasion? And I think that's why Utah is being favored right now to win the division, win the Pac-12. And there's even projections that we saw this week of Utah being a playoff team. And I think not only is it because of the D-line, but you look across the board of this Utah roster, there's just stars across the board.
I mean, with that, with obviously there's a change in the coaching staff. Lewis Powell returns, which is huge. Dude's an absolute stud. But I love the hire of Luther Ellis and just kind of the energy he's going to bring to that staff. And I think you're already hearing about just kind of camp from, you know, what Luther Ellis is bringing. And I just, I'm obviously, there's still some unknown there. But by early reports and just kind of the energy that that guy has, I'm excited. I mean, he just coaches and just has such a passion about him. And I'm hoping he just invokes that into this D line that they just become, I mean, they've always been nasty, but man, just take it to another level and just absolutely dominate these games.
I noticed that at the spring game, he was up and down that sideline, pumping guys up, yelling at guys on the field. I mean, it was nonstop the entire scrimmage.
Yeah, I think it was a great hire. I mean, I was completely shocked when that hire was announced, but it's really grown on me, and I think it's going to be huge.
Couldn't agree more with you two. A huge hire, bringing Ellis back, very much like how Kyle brought Quinton Ganther, a former Ute, back into coaching the running backs. And something that we've talked about is that whole family culture and bringing former players back into coach. I love that approach Kyle's taking. So that will kind of do it as far as looking at this roster for the 22 season. If you missed any of the previous podcasts, you know, they're always on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you listen to a podcast, you can go back, listen to those, and also on our website at utahmanpodcast.com. And Ryan, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Drum and Feather. Drum, the letter N, Feather.
And Scott?
Yeah, find me at @UteMan_forever. Just look for Old Man Peace. I'll be there.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Utah Man Podcast. Until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Go Utes will be till I die. Ki-yi.
We're good. Let's cut it.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are their own and are no way affiliated with the University of Utah.